telling the story of family businesses across the St. Louis region. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and it's presented by CMA Consulting. In studio today with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, also Dan Becker and Mike Becker from Becker Iron and Metal. I love the stories of companies that have been around for over 100 years. You're going to hear a great one here today, going all the way back to 1906. And of course, you can listen back to any of these episodes by going to KMOX.com in the podcast section. Just look for the Business of Family Business in this episode with Becker Iron and Metal. Who actually got into the business first?
I did.
You did? Okay.
I got in the business first.
How old were you?
Full-time, I started in 1993, mm-hmm. about a year after I finished college.
Okay.
But I had some experiences throughout college working summers.
So during the summer, what kind of things were you doing?
Wow. I a little bit of everything. Learning the metals from ground up. I spent a lot of time outside sorting, working the various machines, working my way up to the scale. And then eventually pricing some customers.
Were these duties given to you by your dad? Was he hands-on when you were working during the summer, during the college's years?
Hands-on in the sense of, here's your 20-minute education, go and see what you can do. Ask a lot of questions, and I'll let you know if you're right or wrong.
So if you have other family members, young family members, nieces and nephews and things, do they learn the same things you did at that age?
I think that the business has changed so much, and that what I've learned is you have to be very hands-on.
Yeah.
I think that certainly if I get that opportunity, that's the first thing that I'd recognize is very hands-on.
Was there any sweeping involved?
It's always.
Always sweeping involved.
There's always sweeping.
Constant sweeping.
Lots of sweeping. Lots of manual labor.
I want to go back to the very start at the beginning when we learn about it would be your great-grandfather when he came here from Russia. Is that how the business started?
Yes. It started when our great-grandfather, Sam, moved to the United States from Russia looking for a better life. Spent a very short time in New York City recognizing how busy and how crowded it was, he wanted to move west. He wanted to get out. St. Louis is the gateway to the west. Mm-hmm. He landed here. I guess he wanted to stretch his legs out and see if this was a fit for him. And while he was here, he recognized that he had to feed himself. Mm-hmm. And the one way that a new immigrant that doesn't speak the language can do that is to be as resourceful as possible. And his way of being resourceful was picking up various scrap metals and rags and fish bones in order to trade and sell in order to feed himself.
What would you do with a fish bone?
They ground them up, and from what I understand, they used it for dog feed.
Huh. So he was just really collecting anything that could be resold at that point. It wasn't necessarily metals. It was just something when he saw an opportunity, he could reuse it. He was going to use it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anything that he could trade that had value.
Yeah.
And back then, that's what had value. But metal primarily was the vehicle that got us to where we are today.
So you have Becker, Iron, and Metal. How did he figure all this stuff out? What he was going to do with it after he got it?
What to do with
anything he collected if he was going to try to reuse it? How did he know who to sell it to, or how did he know what he was going to do with any metals or things?
You know, if I could only ask him. But
yeah.
I'll tell you, I think if you're in a situation as a new immigrant, I think they all find each other. I think those that have a common language find and seek each other. And I think a lot of Russian immigrants fell into the same kind of pool. A lot of manual labor, a lot of barter and trade, and I think that there were quite a bit more immigrants doing the same thing as he was.
I want to talk to you as well, Dan, and some of your experiences. When did you first get involved?
Not unlike Mike, I started when I was a kid. I would go in spring break, winter break, instead of staying at home, I was brought to the scrapyard. I think we probably started in our early teens that way.
Yeah.
And it usually entailed starting off in the office, cleaning up the office, going out in the warehouse, sweeping a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we're done sweeping, we have to sweep it all over again because it's a definitely dirty job.
Yeah.
And so just growing up in the business, that's what you did. You just woke up before the crack of dawn and went to work with Dad.
So when you first started, it was mostly the opportunity was there and you had some free time. You wanted to probably earn a little bit of money. When did you actually first think, man, maybe this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. Maybe I want to become more involved in the family business.
You know, at the time when I was growing up, the business was much smaller than it is today. And Mike, being the older brother, was always involved at a later age than me. And it was kind of an unspoken thing that, well, Mike's probably going to go into this business, and so maybe I should seek my fortune somewhere else. So it didn't really occur to me I'd get in the business. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until 2001 where it was I got a phone call, and because Mike and our father, Richard, really grew the business. They made an acquisition, and it was a time where they said, you know, if there's ever a time that Dan would want to come in the business, now would be the time. And it was a question, hey, if this is of interest, are you interested? And it was kind of an interesting question because I never really thought about it until that time. But I tell you, it only took 20 minutes to say yes.
Yeah. The opportunity, when it presented itself, you recognized it, and you didn't want something like that to pass itself up. So you had other family members in the business at that time, too. I mean, your brother was in it. And did you have anyone else in it besides your father?
No, it was just the three of us.
We continue the story of Becker Iron and Metal with Dan and Mike Becker next on The Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA Consulting. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and you know 2/3 of family businesses do not make the generational transition. You know what that means. There's something that prevents it. Maybe there's a stumbling block that they need to get over. Or maybe there's just no interest at all. Maybe it's time for your family business to take a seat at the table and talk about how they're going to identify the successor of the company, if there is one. And maybe you need someone to help you actively work to unify the next generation to develop them to be effective owners. Let me tell you about CMA Consulting. They'll help your family business find harmony in this whole process. And they have the experts to provide content on specific topics that apply to your family business. If you've ever had a question, what does it hurt to ask? Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, what can you do to help our family business? Give him a call, 314-721-1860, or just go straight to their website, cmaconsult.com. The earlier you start, the better off your family business will be. cmaconsult.com. Welcome back to the show that tells the story of family businesses. It's The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. And we're always looking for new family businesses to interview on this program. Reach out to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, the website cmaconsult.com. Let them know you're interested, or maybe you have a family business in mind that would be interested to have their story highlighted on this program. We continue with Dan and Mike Becker from Becker Iron and Metal. The company is starting to expand. It's starting to get larger. You come in and all of a sudden there's the three of you together. What was your working relationship at the start of things?
So when I joined, Mike and Richard were partners. I was not. I did not come into the company as a partner, as an owner. There wasn't an explicit promise of ownership. It was, if you're interested, come on in. And if it makes sense in the future, potentially there could be ownership. Mm-hmm. So at first, it was being an employee and understanding that whatever I thought I knew before, I had to come in with no ego and recognize I know nothing.
Were there brooms involved at that point?
Yes, there were definitely
still brooms involved.
Still brooms involved. Absolutely. But it was it was definitely a challenge in that sense where I had to rethink how I approached my career and the job, how I looked at family and family and within business.
Mm-hmm. So Becker Iron and Metal, it was your great-grandfather, Sam, and this would have been the early 1900s. The company's been around, starting with him, for over 100 years now since, you know, it's pretty amazing. So that if he was Generation 1, was it his son that followed in his footsteps would have been Generation 2?
Yes. Yeah. So Hyman was indoctrinated pretty much at an early age. Mm-hmm. I believe he left school around the 7th grade and to come work for his father.
Was that out of necessity? He had to do that?
I think it was. Yeah. I think at that time, the necessity of everyone pitching in for, you know, especially in a family business.
It's pre-depression at that point.
It is pre-depression. And he really, it resonated with him and it really took off. The business really succeeded and took on some new heights and passed some great heights with when he joined the business. Mm-hmm.
What started to grow at that point? Was there just something changing in America where there was a more demand for this, or was it just maybe the region and this was a good time and place for the company to grow? Or do you know what contributed to the growth?
Well, yes. Unfortunately, wars are, you know, good for the scrap business. World War II was when Becker Iron and Metal really did take off.
Oh, okay.
It took off with the need of scrap metal to build the tanks, to build the planes, to build the ammunition. And for those that were in the scrap metal business, it was a real opportunity to source that kind of material for the war effort was what really, you know, moved our industry forward. And Hyman, our grandfather, recognized that, took great advantage of it in a positive way, and which is one of the reasons why Becker Metals was put on the map.
Right. Was your father, Richard, born at that point?
He was born in 43.
Okay, so right towards the end of the war.
Towards the end of the war, certainly.
Yeah, so was the government buying the scrap metal, or was it other independent you know, people that were contracted through the government that were building the tanks and the ammunitions and things?
Well, a lot of the scrap metal gets sold to steel mills and smelters and refineries. I believe that those were the entities that had the contracts with the government. So the more the government needed from the steel mills, the more the steel mills needed scrap. And that's, of course, when they sought out more scrap and we supplied it.
Yeah. So if everyone is looking for scrap at that point, how was it that you guys were able to expand? So Becker Iron and Metal is able to expand, because if everyone's looking for it, how did they have an edge at that time in order to, or was there just a lot of scrap at the point and there was enough for everyone to get their hands on? I don't know how competitive the scrap business was at that point.
Well, it was competitive.
Yeah.
It was competitive. What most people don't realize is that recycling industry has been around for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. It's become more popularized probably in the last 25, 30 years. But back then, it was, it was a very big business. It's the continuity of supply that makes a company successful or unsuccessful.
Yeah.
If you have a passion, you have a drive, and you want to expand your markets, you are going to succeed. And back then, our grandfather saw that vision. He grasped it with both hands, and he wanted to be as successful as he possibly could.
Let me ask this to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. When we do different stories and we hear about certain times in the economy, sometimes we hear about hardships because of the way the economy is. Sometimes we hear where times are really good and the way the economy is. Like right now, you know, the economy is doing fairly well. If you go back about 10 years ago, it was a little bit harder. But if sometimes you can find these instances in American history, in their case, World War II was something that was very booming for the scrap metal industry. So you see these ebbs and flows with family businesses that could, you know, they adapt to these things.
Very seldom is the marketplace good for everyone or bad for everyone. It's usually some businesses or segments are up and others are down. And so you, when the opportunity comes, you grab it, you take advantage of it, and you make hay while you can. And that's what their grandfather did. I mean, he really sounds like he saw the opportunity and he, as Mike said, grabbed it with both hands.
Yeah. So the war was a limited period of times. How was the Becker Iron and Metal able to expand after a point like that?
I think, in essence, it helped, you know, it helped grow the business. Becker Iron and Metal has had a lot of success over the years handling industrial accounts. And it's from all different spectrums, from automotive to aerospace, tool and die, machine shops. And industry has boomed and has grown since World War II. Mm-hmm. And so recognizing that opportunity, that's where we've put a lot of our focus on.
So, Dan, I want to talk to you about this, too, because, you know, Mike was in the company first and then you later came in after the acquisition. Did you know all the history of the company? Is this something that the family would talk about, or is this something you learned as you came into the company?
You know, you hear stories growing up.
Yeah.
And but being around your father and your brother more in the business gives it more context, and you wind up having conversations about the business when you're in the business. Being around the dinner table, you would hear stories, but not as frequently as when you're sitting around and eating lunch in the office in the scrapyard, and they say, you know, I remember one time, or this family member, or it used to be this way. That's when you hear the most stories.
Yeah. It's when the context becomes richer, the story comes alive at that point, right, when you hear all these family stories. What about your guys' father? So at that point, he was still pretty young, you know, coming out of the war. When did he first get involved, and what did Becker Iron and Metal look like at that point?
In 1965, he graduated college, and having worked summers through college, it was something that he wanted to get involved in. I think that his passion for it is just no different than our passion being in the business. And it, I guess there was maybe a certain expectation that he was going to join the business. He took every opportunity to get himself involved.
Is that how you get family members hooked? You have them work through college, and next thing you know, down the line somewhere, they're going to join the family business?
I guess you could just cut the college short and not go, and then just join when you're 18. Like,
well, let's talk about that.
In the Army, but...
It does bring experience. When you're outside of the family business for a while, you have those real-world experiences that you can bring back into the family business. I bet that also adds a lot to growing the company to begin with.
Right.
Yeah. Did you have that experience when you came in and you were someone that, you know, went through college and you were working at other places, you saw the opportunity, you probably felt like you were able to bring in something unique that maybe the other family members didn't have?
Absolutely. Yeah. There was always skill sets. There's always things that you learn outside in a different industry they're able to bring to the table. Sometimes you don't realize how they relate until you're actually into the other business. You say, wait a second, I think I've done this before. How about I apply this from a different business to the scrap business? The two are unrelated, but you're able to take other learnings.
Yeah.
You know, growing up in the business still gave it context. Being outside the business and coming back into it, I had to unlearn all those previous mindsets from a different industry and relearn how a new mindset for this industry. Those lessons learned, definitely, they're still in the back of your mind when you're experiencing something new.
When we come back, we're going to fast forward to Dan and Mike's father, who joined the company, and what happened with Becker Iron and Metal since, on this weekend's edition of the Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. Telling the story of family businesses one at a time. This weekend, it's Becker Iron and Metal on the Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. So your father joined around the mid-60s, 1965, somewhere in there, and he's been active in the business the entire time?
He still comes down every day.
Wow.
He still comes in probably 6-7 hours a day.
Comes
a little bit late. He leaves a little bit early. He plays golf when the weather is warm, and he takes a lot of vacations.
Well, he's earned a lot of vacations.
He's earned it.
Too.
He's definitely earned it.
So Becker Iron and Metal, when did he start to incorporate you more into a leadership role? Like, what was that like? And it's kind of tell me when he's did he start to groom you, or was it really a path that you always thought would happen?
It was about 5 years after I joined the business. We had an opportunity to make an acquisition, and I told my father that I'm very excited by this acquisition, but instead of just being an employee, I'd like to have some sort of ownership role.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we had the discussion that I was ready.
So you were proactive.
I was proactive. Yeah. Absolutely. I saw that we could do great things with this company, that we could take it to new heights.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an entrepreneurial spirit about me that I shared with him and said, I think that there are some creative things that we can do here. If we make this acquisition, I'd like to take the chance, and I'd like to be an owner.
Yeah. Let me ask this to Dan Bean real quick from CMA Consulting. When the next generation has that spirit, I want in, I want to be able to get hands-on, I want to be the next leader, I want to be the next president, that probably makes things a lot easier when you know the interest is there and you see the interest in the next generation.
It may make it easier for the next generation to know there's motivation.
Mm-hmm.
But there also has to be ability. Mm. So performance is a function of ability times motivation. Mm. So motivation and drive alone can go a long way, but it's necessary but not sufficient.
Right. Okay.
And ability is the same way. It's necessary but not sufficient. Sometimes the next generation wants more responsibility, wants more opportunity, mm-hmm. but the current generation is not ready to step aside yet. So sometimes it's a double message.
Right.
It's nice to know somebody wants to be the leader, the next generation, but the timing is everything. And if the timing's not right, the current generation probably doesn't want to have the conversation.
Right. I wanted to go back around this time of the acquisition.
The time that Mike was talking about is 98. Is that correct?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I came in 2001.
Okay.
So when I came in, they had grown the business from the acquisition, mm-hmm. and it got to a point where it was time. They couldn't handle everything by themselves, and they recognized it. And they could either have hired someone outside the family to come in, mm-hmm. or they could ask someone from the family.
And what were you doing at that point?
I was doing consulting work for then Arthur Andersen.
Okay. So let's talk about the way the industry looks today.
We've brought on some really great people, and those, I think, are our greatest assets. Mm-hmm. They've appreciated our business tenfold. We found some wonderful buyers who have had some that have had decades of experience. Others were trained that came in from other industries. But we have really brought in a great group of people that have appreciated our business by growing our account base. Mm-hmm. I feel lucky enough that we have taught them a skill set that they have proven to us that they are adept at learning, mm-hmm. and adept at being successful at. So I think we have just really grown our business from within as opposed to making other acquisitions.
What does the scrap industry look like today? Like, what can you run me through the process of how you guys come across everything you work with?
The industry today is as competitive as it's ever been.
Oh, well, how so?
There's just a lot of competition out there. I would say there's a lot of consolidation in the industry. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of big corporations are buying up a lot of the smaller yards. And I think we are probably one of the few family-run businesses that are still left out there today. So, you know, we do compete against big corporations with big bank accounts.
Yeah. At Becker Iron and Metal, kind of run through what kind of things you actually do. So I have a kind of a vague idea of what you guys do, but I would like to learn a little bit more. So do people bring materials to you and you find ways to use them, or do you go out to different sites? Are you bidding on things? I have no idea how this industry works.
Sure. I would say that probably 60 to 70% of the metal that we purchase are from industrial accounts. Mm-hmm. As I said before, different machine shops, tool and die shops, fabrication shops in all types of industry. Mm-hmm. They generate a widget. The offfalls from those widgets could be copper or brass, mm-hmm. or stainless or steel. We provide the equipment to collect it. We bring it back to our facility for further processing and sorting and shipping and sale. We probably do another 20 to 25% of our business with demolition mm-hmm. contractors, tearing down buildings and bridges and hospitals and shopping malls, mm. and probably less than 10%, maybe even closer to 5%, is our peddler trade. Mm-hmm. And that would be a guy coming in with bags of cans, or an electrician coming in with some excess insulated wire, plumber with plumber's brass, even the guy that comes in with a shopping cart full of metal that he found in the back alleys of St. Louis.
Wow. So you have a wide variety of different people you work with.
Correct.
So when the United States talks about infrastructure updates and trying to update the bridges and work on different things, does that stuff excite you, thinking there's an opportunity where there's going to be a big demand for what you're providing?
Absolutely. When they put more resources into needing to build up the infrastructure, to replace infrastructure, we know a lot of the infrastructure is made out of metal.
Yeah.
And for that reason, we are very excited, because that is part of our sourcing and supply to sell to the mills, and that's how we make our living.
So no fish bones, though, that you're totally out of the fishbone business.
I think we gave that up about 99 years ago.
That's all it took. So I want to talk about the roles that you guys have in the company right now. So, you know, it's 2019, and we're looking at Becker Iron and Metal. Mike, what is your role right now in the company?
Well, I'm co-president along with Dan. Mm-hmm. I oversee the inbounds of all materials. I handle all the industrial accounts. Mm-hmm. I oversee all the buyers who source the supply of scrap metal through our vendors. I do a little bit of marketing. We do have a division, a national division, which I also oversee. And we perform a lot of sustainability and recycling programs on a national scale.
Yeah. So, Dan, co-president, so how did you rise to the level after, you know, obviously your brother Mike was in the company before you and you came in afterwards, but now you guys are co-presidents. What's your role in the company? What do you do?
So I'm more about the operations. Mm-hmm. So everything that needs to be processed through our 16.5-acre facility, as well as loaded into rail cars, barges, and trucks that go to the mills and foundries, both domestically and internationally. Mm-hmm. So I help through that process as well as the marketing of all the material on the outbound. So he brings it in, I chop it up, and push it out.
All right. What role does your dad have? What's his title?
Troublemaker?
Maybe? It says that on the business card.
I think it does say that. Yes. King and emperor of.
So when he comes in, is he comes in and he's always trying to make sure you guys are in line with what you should be doing?
I think by now he's realized that we've been in the business long enough that he knows that he's secure in knowing that we have our hearts and our minds in the business. Mm-hmm. And that we know what we're doing. But what's great about him being around is that we can, you know, he's got 50 years experience mm-hmm. in this industry. And anytime we want to bounce ideas off of him, anytime that we have thoughts or ideas or we're not sure, you know, we go to him. And it's comforting to know that he's always there for us to, you know, to be a sounding board for.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. I wanted to talk to you about the co-president title because I don't know if you see that all that often, a co-president.
You don't see it very often, and when you do see it, it's almost always in a family business. Mm-hmm. So I don't know of any situation, any business outside of a family business that has co-presidents. Mm-hmm. And it takes a special two individuals to do that. They have to communicate exceptionally well. They have to be well aligned. They have to trust the other person, which means they also have to be trustworthy. And so there has to be a very good give and take and a willingness to talk. Mm-hmm. What is our position? How do we uphold our values, our principles, our policies, our strategic direction? So they have to be aligned all the time. Mm-hmm. Huh. Others will find a crack between them. It's just like kids going to parents. They'll know which one to go to. They'll know how to take advantage of the crack or the differences mm-hmm. if they are there.
We'll continue one last time with the Business of Family Business presented by CMA Consulting. And I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Many ways, family businesses are like every other business. You go in, you do your job, you have your roles, you work with other employees. But it's a little bit different when it comes to a family business. There's a lot more emotion built into it. And for many reasons, that's why it's important for you to talk about what happens next with the family business. Have you considered talking to someone, asking them the questions you've always wanted to ask, get the answers of what's the best way, perhaps, for a generational transition? CMA Consulting, they lead a multidisciplinary team to help your family business unify the next generation and develop them to be effective owners. It's something you're going to want to start sooner than later. It's always better to give CMA a call first and ask them, what can you do to help our family business? They have talent experts, tax, accounting, banking, legal, risk management, really all these different key areas, or maybe you don't even know where to start. Contact CMA for a complimentary no obligation meeting to discuss your family business. It's one of the best first steps you can make as a family business. CMAconsult.com, or you can give them a call, 314-721-1860, CMAconsult.com. We're here one last time in studio with Becker Iron and Metal. If you missed any part of this program, you can always listen to it on our website. Go to the podcast section at KMOX.com. A special thanks to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program. We continue now with Dan and Mike Becker from Becker Iron and Metal. How is your working relationship with each other?
I think it's great.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think it's great. I think that we come from two different mindsets, which I think really, really works for us. I'm more of a shoot from the hip. I take more chances. I think I get, you know, to be a little bit more creative. I think Dan can speak for himself.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more analytical and conservative with my approach. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we play devil's advocate with each other. Mm. He pushes me to be take a little bit more risks. And then I like to take the opposing of what do those risks look like for us. And sometimes we push each other a little bit more just to come up with a creative solution. Mm. Not that I'm overly that conservative, but it feels good to be that way just to see what all our risks are.
Did you guys play high school sports?
No, we worked in the scrapyard.
That's all you did was
work. That's all we did. Yeah. We had a push broom. Yeah. Who's got time for fun in sports?
I wanted to know if there was a competitive nature at all between you two at any point before you guys entered the company.
Not really.
No?
No. It's funny. When we were growing up, we had different personalities and interests, and that served us so well in business because we come at business in mm-hmm. two different levels of interest, what's inside the business. So, Mike, I have utter respect for what he does. He mm-hmm. does an incredible job, and that's something he's good at, and I recognize that's something I'm as interested in. And I would likely say the vice versa in what I do, mm-hmm. and that's how we complement each other in business as well as we trust each other that they're going to do a good job.
Well, that's great. Complement each other. And that's probably why you've seen a lot of growth. If you guys have different perspectives and you can make decisions based on that, plus you have, of course, the knowledge of your father to run and get maybe some, you know, a bigger context into some of the decisions you're about to make. And you have seen the company grow a lot over the years. So can you kind of talk about that rate of growth and what you've seen since you guys have been co-president?
Growth in our business is that we've really taken a hard look at what we can do and areas that we can improve on. I mean, it's a constant thinking of, I'm not comfortable where we're at. Mm-hmm. What can we do? What can we be different? What can we add? What can we reinvest into our company? And not being comfortable that, hey, this is good enough. And so our growth is because I don't think Mike and I have ever felt truly comfortable where we're at. And it's about what can we add to the business. Back in 2011, we relocated to a greenfield project. We built a brand new building, laid down a brand new rail track, mm-hmm. and we had probably close to quadruple amount of actual working space for production. And that opened up the world to us. And once that happened in 2011, that's when we really took off.
So is having a rail set you apart? Is that something that only the really big businesses have?
Yeah, only a really really strong scrapyard will have rail siding. And even bigger ones will have the access to barge.
What did that open you up to? So did it mean you were able to bring on different types of clients, bigger clients, or did it just mean you can process more at that location?
It's processing more, for sure. Adding more processing equipment, so the volumes grew. We're able to push out more rail cars and more volume on the logistics and pushing out. Mm. And when you're able to have a larger volume in our industry, it's about able to demand a premium price. Mm. So the more volume we pushed out, the more money we can ask for and get. And that translates to our customers.
Wow. Did that also grow your geographic area? Was it easier for you to get to more places because of that?
Absolutely.
Oh, so what's your geographic area that you normally work?
You know, really, St. Louis is in a prime location. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't understand that. Not only is it central on the Mississippi, and river access is very important to the steel mills, but also we are located next to all the Class 1 railroads. And those railroads get us to anywhere from Oklahoma, Nebraska, mm-hmm. Colorado, go up north to Chicago, Wisconsin, can go all the way east. We've shipped to New Jersey and mm-hmm. the coast, and we ship down to Texas, Alabama, and Mississippi.
Wow. What are some trends in the industry you're seeing?
Consolidation.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
See a lot of that still. And that's something you guys have to combat. How has that been difficult for a family business to combat against some of this consolidation where you're seeing this happen inside the industry?
Well, what we've noticed in the consolidation is that that family businesses are starting to be gobbled up, and it's starting to kind of move the...
The mojo is what I would say. The vibe.
Mojo.
It is the vibe. It's the vibe of the industry. It's outsiders. Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. With consolidation, I believe that you get a lot of people that have a more of a corporate mentality versus family businesses that grew up in it.
Yeah.
And you kind of knew everyone. And everyone knows each other by name, especially in our industry. There's not like thousands of scrap yards.
Mm-hmm.
There's not thousands of family businesses. There's hundreds. And we all kind of know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And with the consolidation, you start losing that feel, that vibe of knowing your competitors, whether they're friendly or not, doesn't matter. It's immaterial.
Yeah.
And then you have a corporate mentality that comes in.
In 2010, we started developing programs to reach beyond the region that we service, being St. Louis. We developed a division that we call Becker Scrap Management Solutions,
mm-hmm.
BSMS for short. And it was founded to fulfill an unmet need and our clients' desire to have a single source management of recyclable goods on a full-scale, multi-location basis.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, we're maximizing value, we're minimizing their costs, and essentially trying to divert as much as we can from the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
We've added multiple platforms to this program. We felt that in the growth of Becker Iron and Metal, instead of making acquisitions, other scrap yards, we decided to go more horizontal mm-hmm. with some of our services and then go vertical.
Hmm.
So we actually opened up an office a few months ago, and it's being supported by 23 regional managers, custom service groups, and we work with a lot of large Fortune 1 through 500 companies
mm-hmm.
to enhance their sustainability programs,
huh.
and not just in metals, but a variety of other recyclables as well.
Dan, have you ever won any awesome awards?
And we're done.
And we're done. That's it.
I think we are very proud of where we came from. I think that we were instilled at an early age a wonderful work ethic. I've worked since I was 16. I've always pretty much held a job doing something, something that I'd love for my kids to experience as well. Right now they are too young to get a job, but once they do, I think that will build upon their work ethic as well. It's not always been an easy road,
mm-hmm.
Being in business and a family business, but I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. The relationship that Dan and I have is fantastic. We do talk outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
We collaborate on a lot of opportunities. We consider ourselves like an internal think tank.
Mm.
Where we're always trying to build a better mousetrap. And we're not satisfied with where we are. We feel like there's a lot more that we have to give this industry. We'll be around for a while to come.
People want to check out Becker Iron and Metal. Can they go to a website, or where would you direct them to go?
Yeah, so our website is beckermetal.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can look us up that way. We are located in Venice, Illinois, which is just across the McKinley Bridge, easy to get to. Mm-hmm. In fact, I could see the St. Louis Gateway Arch from our offices.
Nice. Very nice. So beckermetal.com.
Beckermetal.com.
You can check it right there. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. I want to get your thoughts on this family business story you heard today.
Great story. A business over 100 years old. Somebody came from Russia to America, Sam Becker, got things started with a push cart, grew the business. The next generations helped grow the business. They've thought out of the box
mm-hmm.
to grow that business, and they have also worked very closely as a family. So we didn't hear stories of family strife and conflict. We heard stories of how family make their wishes known. They talk with each other. They talk with the prior generation. They work out ownership. They work out leadership mm-hmm. and management. And it's just a very great story. And the fact that these two are co-presidents and how they work together and the quality of relationship they have, it just says this company has a bright future.
So Dan and Mike from Becker Iron and Metal, thank you so much for coming in, sharing your story here today on the Business of Family Business.
Thank you.
Thank you.